I'm Bavins.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.
This is VOA News via remote. I'm Joe Palka. NATO said today its members are sending more ships and fighter jets to Eastern Europe in response to Russia's military buildup along its border with Ukraine. Sagar Magani talks about the deterrence effect.
The plan summarizes moves individual alliance members had already announced, including ships, aircraft, and troop movements to the Baltic Sea area. But issuing the plan under NATO's banner appears aimed at showing the alliance's resolve amid fears Russia's planning to invade Ukraine. Moscow denies it and blames the U.S. and NATO for boosting tensions.
And that NATO alliance includes Denmark, Spain, France, the Netherlands, and the United States. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov accused the United States and its NATO allies of escalating tensions. Meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken warned Russia on Sunday that Washington knows all of its tactics and techniques that Moscow can deploy to undermine the Ukrainian government, but will continue to engage in diplomatic talks in hopes of easing tensions in Eastern Europe. As to U.S. personnel in Ukraine, Jackie Quinn has this from Associated Press.
The State Department is ordering the families of U.S. embassy personnel in Ukraine's capital of Kyiv to leave the country. Non-essential staff members are being told they can go. And American travelers are being warned to avoid Ukraine and Russia, with fears of a Russian invasion into Ukraine. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken on NBC's Meet the Press said the U.S. is hoping Russia chooses diplomacy versus force.
Ultimately, we've given Russia two paths. It has to choose.
The State Department says the security conditions are unpredictable and can deteriorate with little notice, but says the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine will remain open. I'm Jackie Quinn.
And this is VOA News. As talks between the Taliban and Western diplomats were underway in Oslo, Afghan human rights activists on Monday demanded the release of two women arrested by the Taliban last week. The two women were arrested following an anti-Taliban protest against the compulsory Islamic headscarf, otherwise known as the hijab, for women. They have not been seen since. Rejecting the accusation the Taliban had abducted them, Taliban delegate Shafiullah Azam has said that he was not aware of that and suggested that activists may just be trying to use this event to seek asylum. Women's rights activist Mahbuba Siraj angrily rejected this and conveyed her sentiments about her role in the talks.
Why did they choose to come here? I mean, the voice of the people of that country, especially of some women, a group of women, a big group of women, they all want me to. That's why I stayed there. I stayed there to raise their voice, they raised their concern, talk about it. I knew this was going to be happening. This is what the world does, you know. The world does not want to just forget about something and throw it to the dogs. No. For the longest time, they tried to do something and find a way for all of us to live together. And I wanted to be there to at least be their voice.
World Health Organization Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said Monday that COVID-19 has now entered its third year and called on countries to come together to end the global pandemic. He said we're at a critical juncture. On Sunday, WHO's European director told the French press that it's plausible that the Omicron variant has moved Europe toward a kind of pandemic endgame. He speculated that 60% of Europeans would be infected with Omicron by March. Meanwhile, in this country, some conservatives are taking aim at policies that allow doctors to consider race as a risk factor when allocating scarce COVID treatments. AP correspondent Julie Walker has this.
They say the protocols discriminate against white people. Medical experts say the opposition is misleading. Health officials have long said there is a strong case for considering race as one of many risk factors in treatment decisions, and there is no evidence that race alone is being used to decide who gets medicine. In recent days, conservative law firms have pressured a Missouri-based healthcare system, as well as Minnesota and Utah, to drop their protocols and sued New York over allocation guidelines that include race as a risk factor. I'm Julie Walker.
Taiwan's defense ministry says China flew 39 warplanes within its air defense identification zone Sunday, the largest deployment of its kind this year in a constant pressure campaign by China against the self-ruled island. No immediate comment from Beijing. Via remote, Joe Palka, VOA News.